I had my legs stretched out, resting my back against a chain-link fence as I watched my nephew, Chris, shoot baskets from different ends of the cement court. He had grown a bit in the few months he'd been living with me, both in height and in bulk. Chris had been working out in my friend Bruno's gym, around the corner from my brownstone, and the time seemed to have been put to good use. His world had been turned upside down over the winter. His parents, my brother and his wife, were killed in a car accident on a snowy night in Westchester County, and I gave the 15-year-old a choice. Come live with me, or go through the system for the next 3 years. I like to think he made the smart move. Not that living with me is a cakewalk, not by any means. I like my routine, am set in my ways, and I don't like change of any kind. I should mention I'm also an ex-cop, got shot off the job closing in on 2 years now, along with my best friend and partner, Frank Pearl Monroe. The guys on the job call what happened to me and Pearl Cop Lotto. Our wounds come with a three-quarter tax-free pension for life, along with great health insurance that comes minus a tab. But trust me, as nice as it sounds, it's not worth the damage done to get it. Especially not when it comes to Pearl, sentenced as he is to life in a wheelchair. It took a while, but I put together a good life for myself. One that works for me. Sure, I miss the job. Hunting down a top-tier dealer or a homicidal thug, breaking down a case, putting all the pieces together until they fit. An old cop once told me that putting on that uniform and heading out on a tour was like being given a front-row ticket to the greatest and most exciting show on earth. There's nothing in the world like it, and you miss it like you would a great lover when it's taken away. Truer words. Chris walked toward me, basketball cradled under his right arm. He was a handsome kid, long brown hair, eyes alert, and always taking everything in. An easy manner to him, at least most of the time. Teenage boys have mood swings that can make your head spin if you make any effort to keep track of them. Luckily, I don't. He's a crime buff, my nephew. Watches all the shows, both the dramas and the ones on the Discovery Channel. Reads the books, sees the movies, studies newspaper and magazine articles like they're the SATs. He even belongs to an online chat group that works towards solving old cases. He's Sherlock Holmes, minus the silly hat, the pipe, and the drug habit. He also doesn't believe his parents' death was an accident. He's convinced they were murdered, set up by the accounting firm where my brother worked. Chris is a whiz with a computer, can find sites and dig up information with speed and accuracy. He did such an impressive job on his theory, piling up facts and details missing from the police, medical, and insurance reports, that it convinced me, against my sounder judgment, to look into the firm and see if they were indeed dirty. I still catch cases every now and then, usually handed my way by Chief of Detectives Ray Connors. The two of us go back to our early days in uniform, and he's a trusted and valued friend. He doles out a case that's deemed too cold or throws a call my way when the department is stretched too thin, and I work it with Pearl and a team I've assembled in the years since I've been off the job. You'll get to know them all soon enough. This case, the one dealing with my brother, is the first time I've brought one to the chief's attention. He read through my nephew's reports and gave me the go-ahead to take a deeper look. "Did you get a chance to read the new file?" Chris asked. His voice was in the middle of the bridge that would take him from boy to man. I nodded. "Last night. Pretty thorough, as I expected. The accounting firm where your dad worked was no doubt cutting corners and skimming from clients. That part's clear."
"Which part isn't?"
"It's a big leap, Chris, to go from that to pinning them down for killing your father," I said. "Cheating and stealing is one thing. Murder? That's a whole other arena. I'm not saying they're not capable of it. Truth is, everybody is."
"Then what are you saying?" Chris asked.
"I need to see more," I said. "We all do. A stronger piece of evidence would be nice. What you put together in the files you've worked on is enough to rouse my suspicion, the chief's as well. makes it worth our while to take a look at the firm. But we're still missing enough evidence to corner them.
They doctored the brakes on the car, Chris said. That was in the first file I gave you.
Somebody doctored the brakes, I said. I doubt any of the accounting partners got under the front end and played with the lining. Chris shook his head.
Everyone who worked at my dad's firm parked in the same garage, he said. It's a parking lot. Cars are left there all hours of the night. It doesn't take much time to split the lining and play with the electronic system.
Look, I said, I'm not saying I don't buy your theory. Truth is, I do. But we have to tie it together, see if one loose end connects to another. If the accounting firm did anything to lead to the death of your mom and dad, we will take them down. That, I promise.